Thank you. Did you have a good intermission? Okay. Did you bid on some silent auction items? No. I just remembered last year I sold my car in the silent auction. I did, and somebody paid $125, I think, and drove it for a year, and it's here again at Augusta. So I don't know if it'll... So, hey, Joan. Joan, are you going to put the car in the auction this year?
No.
No, she wants to keep... Okay, anyway, we're ready for another half of music here. I hope that you all plan to stick around with us. We have three sets of great music. Again, a tremendous variety. This first set is going to feature the Illin pipes and fiddle combination we haven't yet heard this evening. This is Patrick and Kathy Skye. They're from North Carolina. Patrick has been around the music for a long time. He's done tremendous research in Ireland. He did great research with Seamus Ennis, a great older musician in Ireland. He produced some recordings from him and has kept alive a lot of his repertoire. Kathy has done her research in County Clare. They're both currently in the doctorate program in folklore at the University of North Carolina. They've been leading slow jams all week, but I believe they're going to be playing up to speed here this evening. Let's make them welcome Patrick and Kathy Skye.
Is everybody relaxed? We've been playing so many slow jams that we're just kind of like this.
You're talking real slow.
So we're gonna
play
real slow. We'll just start out with a couple of old hornpipes.
Thank you. my read here. Now they say there's only two kind of pipers, the ones that tune and those that play out of tune.
But does that make two kinds of pipers, wives? Those who stay and those who go.
Those who stay and those who go.
Let's play this for Christ.
She got me, she got me. You know, Oscar Wilde, the first time he ever heard the pipe said, "Thank God there's no smell." So. And that's the reason, you know, pipers are, well, the creators of Tourette syndrome. They always feel that people are looking at them. They're always twitching and. Okay, now this tune is an old reel that we learned. Most of the tunes we learned we picked up when we were living in Clare, and so most of these tunes are kind of Clare music. But this one was written by the father of Seamus Innes named James Innes. We call it James Innes, but I think he called it The Lark in the Clear Air. So we're going to see if we can play this. It's a three-part reel. This next tune, the two people that I heard play it were Seamus Innes and Willie Clancy, and Seamus played it as a waltz, and Willie played it more like an air, and I don't know exactly how we play it. We're somewhere in between. It's sort of like an air played like a waltz.
This is kind of a Zen exercise for us. I love the uniting of the crying voice of the fiddle, as it can complement the pipes, and so this is a chance to kind of bend those notes and blend those tones in a slow kind of way.
really frustrating trying to tune a hum, you know what I mean?
I like your strap pad. It's really unique.
This is a Venetian strap. We're going to finish up with a couple of old jigs that we've been playing for a long, long time. The first one is called My Darling Asleep, and then the second one is sort of I've never quite figured it out. It's one of those Irish existentialist type tunes. It's called The Rambling Pitchfork. It goes along with that one, you know, like the floating crowbar. First. But anyway, this one is the rambling pitchfork. I guess in the... What?
What? Time to make a few thank yous here. I'd like to thank Vicky Moss for my top hat here. Vicky made this in the felting class. I'd like to thank the light man, Larry Smith, up there, keeping the stage well lit. And how about a hand for this hard-working sound crew here, scurrying around, Flawn Williams, Wes back there on the monitors. I'd like to bring somebody out on stage that I don't believe you've met yet. This is Molly Sein, the manager of the Augusta store. Why, Molly, what do you have there?
I have a box full of names. We know everybody here.
That's right, we have your names. Actually, we do this so that we can get a mailing list of those of you who don't already get Augusta catalogs and stuff, so Anyway, thank you for playing along with us, but the winner actually does get something of value here, and let's shake it. Is this well shook? Did you shook it?
Shook it.
Okay, shake it again. Shake. Go, Molly, go. Okay, reach in there and grab us a name here. And the winner is Shelly Miller from Elkins, West Virginia. Shelly, are you here, Shelly? Shelly has to be here to win. Is Shelly coming? Here comes Shelly. All right.
And what does Shelly win?
And Shelly wins. You didn't think there wasn't something in this hat, did you? Shelly wins this beautiful piece of plastic that says, good for one free t-shirt or recording of your choice from the Augusta store. Thank you, Shelly. Thank you, Molly. The next two performers are going to treat us to some songs. I told you this is a concert with a lot of variety, and we have two of the best singers of Irish song about to join us, the Irish Week coordinator, Mick Maloney, and the great Frank Hart. Let's make them welcome.
To do the introductions, but he just says no. He says we'll start off with Hart forgetting the words and starting in the wrong key, and then it'll go downwards from there, you know. We've been singing a lot of songs during the week. I haven't sung, I did sing one today, but a song of my own place where I come from, and that's the city of Dublin. And it's a peculiar type of song, distinct from the overall tradition. I'll sing a song, I suppose in Dublin parlance it's a love song, if you stretch your imagination just a little. Was down by Christchurch that I first met with a neat little girl and not a bit shy. She told me her father, who came from Dungannon, would take her back home in the sweet by and by. And what's that to any man, whether or no, whether I'm Maisie or whether I'm true? As I lifted her petticoat, easy and slow, and I tied up my sleeve for to buckle her shoe. From city or country, a girdle's a jewel, and well made for gripping the most of them are. But any young fella, he is really a fool if he tries at the first time to go a bit far. And what's that to any man, whether or no, whether I'm easy or whether I'm true? As I lived in her petticoat, easy and slow, and I tied up my sleeve for to buckle her shoe. We wandered by Thomas Street down till the Liffey. The sunlight was gone and the evening grew dark. And along by King's Gridge and by God in a jiffy, me arm was around her beyond in the park. And what's that to any man, whether or no, whether I'm easy or whether I'm true? As I lived in her petticoat, easy and slow, and I tied up my sleeve for to buckle her shoe. Now if you should go to the town of Dungannon, you can search till your eyeballs are empty or blind. Be you sitting or walking or sporting or standing, a girl like Annie you never will find. And what's that to any man, whether or no? Whether I'm easy or whether I'm true. As I lifted her petticoat easy and slow, and I tied up my sleeve for to buckle her shoe. There you go.
Well, looking at two fine, upstanding characters like a heart and myself, it's very hard to imagine that the Irish were ever discriminated against in this country. But of course they were. And when they arrived in waves in the 1850s from Ireland, flocking into the East Coast cities, it was okay for them to work in construction, it was okay for them to work in the canal building, it was okay for them to work on the railroads. But when it came to the nicer jobs, they saw everywhere outside the employment situations signs that said, no Irish need apply. And of course, this was commented about in song. And there's a great song that was made famous by the great Tony Pastor in the early days of vaudeville called No Irish Need Apply. I'd like to sing a few. And in the tradition of vaudeville, it'd be great if you could sing the chorus. And the chorus goes, we're getting tuned here. Some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honour to be born an Irishman. I'm a decent boy just landed from the town of Ballyfad. Oh, I want a situation and I want it mighty bad. A position I saw advertised, 'tis the thing for me, says I, but the dirty spalpeen ended with no Irish need apply. Oh, says I, but that's an insult, but to get this place I'll try. So I went to see the blackguard with no Irish need apply. Well, some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honour to be born an Irishman. Well, I started out to find this chap, and I found him mighty soon. He was seated in a corner, he was reading the Tribune. And he asked me what I came for, and he then in a rage did fly. And he said, you are a Paddy, and no Irish need apply. Then I felt me down the horizon that I'd like to black his eye, to tell a decent gentleman no Irish need apply. Well, some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honour to be born an Irish man. Well, I couldn't stand his nonsense, so I howled at him I took, and I gave him such a baiting as he'd get in Donnybrook. And he hollered me a murder, and to get away to try. And he swore he'd never write again, no Irish need apply. And he made a big apology, I bid him then goodbye, saying, when next you want a beaten right, no Irish need apply. Well, some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honour to be born an Irishman. Now, I've heard that in America it always is the plan, that an Irishman is just as good as any other man. At home and hospitality they never will deny, to strangers here or ever right, no Irish need apply. Ah, but some black sheep are in the flock, a dirty lot, says I, a decent man will never write, no Irish need apply. Well, some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honour to be born an Irishman. Now old Ireland on the battlefield a lasting fame has made. You all have heard of Maher's men and Corcoran's brave brigade. Though fools may flout and bigots rave, and fanatics they may cry, But when they want good fighting men, the Irish may apply. And when for freedom and for right they raise the battle cry, the rebel ranks will surely think no Irish need apply. Well, some may think it a misfortune to be christened Pat or Dan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irish man.
Well, it's been a good week, more or less drawing to a close. But I'd asked at the beginning of this week that you remember the situation that's going on in Ireland, and it's a crucial time for the advancement of the peace process. And any pressure you can put on your local representatives or on the president to encourage or push the British government towards these discussions for the just and peace solution in Ireland would be greatly appreciated by the people in Ireland. The man that couldn't apply eventually did find his way around America and ended up in the highest offices and so forth. One of them was my uncle Dan McCann, who left for America just after the famine. How's that one?
Lately.
Oh, I've lately wandered over here to look for me Uncle Dan. He left the town of Galway in the year of 51. Where he's gone to, I don't know. I've searched the country high and low. Far back to Galway, I can't go without me Uncle Dan. So have you seen me Uncle Dan McCann? Typical bit of a Galway man. Came out to the USA in the year of 51. If any dull neighbours living here have seen or heard of him anywhere, you'd oblige me if you'd help me find me Uncle Dan McCann. Let me tell you of my Uncle Dan. By God, he was a mighty man. He swam the River Liffey twice a day. He could run 3 rounds of the Phoenix Park. He'd dance and sing just like a lark. But he wasn't afraid to go home in the dark, me Uncle Dan McCann. So have you seen me Uncle Dan McCann? Typical bit of a Galway man. Came out to the USA in the year of 51. If any dull neighbours living here have seen or heard of him anywhere, you'd oblige me if you'd help me find me Uncle Dan McCann. Well, I found me Uncle Dan McCann, very prosperous Yankee man, holds a seat in Congress, and he's leader of his clan. Well, he helped to write America's laws, but his heart and soul is in Ireland's cause. And God help the man that opens his jaws to me Uncle Dan McCann. So here's to me Uncle Dan McCann, typical bit of a Galway man, fought all through the Civil War in the year of 61. He was supple and limber in every joint. He wasn't afraid of the bayonet's point. He belonged to the fight in 69. Me Uncle Dan McCann, so have you seen me Uncle Dan McCann, typical bit of a Galway man, came out to the USA in the year of 51. If any dull neighbours living here have seen or heard of him anywhere, you'd oblige me if you'd help me find me Uncle Dan McCann.
I just finished reading a great book. I started a couple of months ago, and it's a big long book called The Banished Children of Eve, and it's set in New York City in the 1850s, and it's a powerful, sprawling novel written by a historian, a man called Peter Quinn, and it was his first attempt at historical fiction. And he's actually the same person who wrote Mario Cuomo's speeches for years, a man well given to words of wisdom sometimes. And the book is an extraordinary effort altogether, and it's a particular interest, of course, to people who are descended from the Irish who came over in the decade after the famine. And they sprawled into New York City, and the whole decade is dealt with in the book, and it's played out against the torrid backdrop of tenement housing and blackface minstrelsy, with a lot of the Irish involved. Stephen Foster careers drunkenly through the book in a sort of a sad way, and other characters from minstrelsy as well. And the whole thing culminates savagely in the draft riots around the time of the Civil War, when a lot of the Irish were being asked to fight in yet another war, and this one a war that they barely understood. But a lot of them did go off and fought in the Civil War, and there are lots of songs about their valorous deeds, if indeed there are any valorous deeds ever in war. A lot of pride in the songs, particularly in the Fighting 69th, mentioned there in the last line of Uncle Dan McCann. And coincidentally, in the last couple of months, I also came across this song, which is from the Civil War, and it's about an Irishman who fought in the Civil War. It's called Pat Murphy of the Irish Brigade. Night before battle and all through the camp, the soldiers lay close in their quarters. They were thinking, no doubt, of their loved ones at home, mothers, wives, children and daughters. Far away in the east sat a dashing young blade, and a song he was singing so gay.